Jokes.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Science with Knob Jokes. I am your science heartthrob, Dr. Sam Godfrey.
You're not my science heartthrob.
That was the sentient creature who insists on being called Daisy Eyre.
It's one of my many demands.
It is. Unreasonable.
Wild.
A rider must be called by my name.
I know. It's, rude.
So for those people who are new to our podcast, we talk about science. Daisy largely provides the jokes.
Yeah, you're the science, I'm the knob jokes, really.
That's pretty much it, except you don't like knob jokes.
I hate them.
Actually, I'm going to try and up my game. I'm going to try and find as much innuendo in these next couple of podcasts as possible, because we get a lot of complaints
that
there's just not enough penis jokes in this. So we talk about science. It's, I think, interesting. I think it's cool. Daisy.
I mean, I would beg to differ, but I mean, it's all right.
It's all right,
it passes
science.
The time.
You've actually been, I'd say, pro some of the stuff I've said.
I mean, I haven't actively hated it, which I think is better than any of us hoped for.
It's better than anyone that knows you would have expected.
Anyone that knows you would have expected.
Right, after that brilliant intro. So the thing is, the script writers, they do a sterling job here. It sounds natural, it sounds really poorly thought out, but no, it's really well scripted.
Highly planned by a team of elves.
Fit Science.
So I've got a picture for you, Daisy.
Oh my god, this will translate well.
I'm going to post this on Twitter, so feel free to follow us on Twitter and try using the hashtag SWKJ.
Well,
Science
that's
of Knob
new,
Jokes.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I thought so. Because
wow.
A few people have been spelling knob jokes with an N and have then struggled to find
us. Do you
know
what? And I can see where they're going with that.
Yeah, and I have no clue about search optimization to try and allow them to find
put
us.
Put that on your list of things to do.
I would hate
to think people were looking for us and just not being able to find it.
God, I mean, imagine the tens of people that's affected out there.
At least seven, I would say.
Right, this is a picture, and I will be putting this on Twitter, so at ScienceManSam, you'll be able to find this.
This is a really great radio feature.
It's a great radio feature.
Really good, strong.
I know, seriously, this is worth it. Right, look at this little thing.
Oh, God. Not this again.
Yes, it's my penis.
Oh, Jesus.
There we go.
Oh!
Right, okay.
Oh, you should have... Right, I'm going to tell you what I can look at. Yeah. It's a tiny human. Like, really small, but with a massive head. And it's all bones. It looks very old. But what I really want you to take away from this is, like, a massive human with a... No, a tiny human with a massive head.
Right. If I tell you the scale of that thing, that's 6 inches long. Oh, we're there
tiny.
Again.
Tiny. I don't understand what I'm looking at. Help.
Right. Okay, so this is... it was a tiny mummified remains from Chile... And it's been called Atta, and people suspected this of being some form of alien creature because it looks so alien.
Yes.
Looking at the way its bones have grown and fused together, the estimation was it was 6 to 8 years old, this creature, unlike anything that's seen on Earth. Now, this is where the remarkable world of science has come in, because scientists have taken the DNA of this creature and tried to work out what, in fact, it is.
Well, tell me, don't keep me waiting.
Well, what it is it's a human, a newborn baby with...
But you knew it, didn't I? I identified that as a human right off.
Right away, bam, straight there. You ruled out creature from another planet.
Went into my head, I looked at that and said, that is a person. I've seen them before.
So it's got multiple mutations, and what they found is the DNA evidence has shown that led to premature fusing of the bones. So they've merged together. They now can say that it was a female. It had mutations in genes for dwarfism, scoliosis, muscle and skeletal abnormalities. The only example of a human being born with 10 ribs rather than the normal 12, and it was stillborn or died soon after birth. But this about 40 or 50 years ago, this little mummified thing has been passed around, like sort of generating all of this. What on earth is it? And we now know that it was just a very, very mutated...
Do you know what, though? I bet they were dead disappointed, weren't they? And they were like, oh my God, you guys, evidence of another life form on Earth. And then they were like, oh no, it's just a...
What you're wanting is the scientist going like, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, you want it like in the film, so they like whip off their glasses.
Yeah.
And they're like...
Jeff Goldblum would play the character, wouldn't he?
I would love that. I would die for that.
And there'd be a screen of just scrolling letters, which is how scientists read DNA all the time.
All the time.
Just, going... there's an A there. I've never seen an A in that position. That sort of thing.
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, we can work on the dialogue later because that's not useful.
That's what the script writers have put in here. That's what they gave me.
And then I can imagine they when they got the results back and they were like, oh, just person.
Yeah. Shit. Damn.
It's not
rubbish.
Not an alien.
So, but what's nice, I thought, is that the scientists that then did it recommended that it's returned back to Chile for a burial in the normal local customs. I was like, that's kind of sweet.
That's nice. It should have a nice burial.
I think it's currently in some private collector's thing in Spain at the moment. So.
Why do you want that? So, yeah. I do always think that about remains. Like, you know, when they go on display in different museums and that, I'm like, it's still a person. I know they're 2,000 years old, but...
Yeah.
That was a person once with you know, real hopes and dreams and feelings.
Thoughts.
Now we're just looking at them.
Going, oh,
bones
that's weird.
Yeah. Oh my God, look at his back.
Yeah. Oh, it looks like you, Dave. Yeah.
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 God, I hate Dave.
Dave is a dick. Right. So that was my first little bit. Just a little nugget to throw out. I thought it was interesting.
Got us all warmed up. I really enjoyed that, but I do feel for the scientists who got
wanted an alien
of their lives.
Nobel Prize coming up.
They got an extraterrestrial. Yeah. Do you get Nobel Prizes for that? Discovery of aliens.
Well, I'd imagine. there's a whole field. There's a whole Nobel Prize for science. Who's won the Nobel Prize for discovering aliens this year? No one. No one's ever claimed it.
Once again, no one. Yeah.
I have had it pointed out to me that some of our listeners believe everything I say. Most of what I say is factual, but every now and again, I like to be silly. That's one of those guys. There is no Nobel Prize for discovering aliens.
Yet.
Give it
Nobel
a year.
Nobel committee, look into that.
Yeah.
Put it on your list.
I think they will. They hang on your every word, actually, to a direction.
Who
to there isn't a person in the world, Daisy. You're the Times top 100 power list.
Yeah, but they don't like to put me on it officially because I like to stay under the radar as much as I can.
Well, there you go. First little bit.
Yep, I thought that was very good.
Great.
I enjoyed it. What would I say about it? I would say it's probably one of those pieces of science that, I mean, you see it from far away and you're like, wowza, nice. And then the closer it gets, the more you're like, oh.
That's a shame.
But just because it was probably disappointing for the scientists and I really empathise with that.
You're a hugely empathetic person.
Thank you.
Mainly with yourself, but...
I'm very self-interested.
Right, well, next piece, and I like this one. Scientists at the University
of... Sam, no, you can't do that. You can't sway me.
Fine, okay. Next piece, I'm indifferent about this piece. I wonder what Daisy's going to think. Scientists at the University of California in Berkeley are getting pretty close to being able to read minds.
Are they?
Yes. So, and I think you're going to like this one. I'm preempting it.
Do you know what? I already don't like it, but we'll see.
We'll see where we go. Yeah, but I think something about this, I think... resonate with you. So the purpose is to allow people who are paralysed and locked in to communicate, right?
I mean, that's nice.
It's nice, yeah. It's not the part I think will resonate.
Okay.
So the idea is they'll be able to communicate just by thinking. And there's some difficulties with this because parts of the brain which are involved in thinking sounds, as in speech, are also overlap parts of the brains which process heard sounds. So if you're scanning someone's brain trying to detect what they're thinking and then they hear a sound, that's going to set off some of the same signals and it's really going to garble it. So I imagine it's a bit like maybe feedback between microphones. If you start to speak and then you're recording something and playing it through the same speaker, you get that echo.
Yeah.
Have you ever done like FaceTimed two phones next to each other? And
no, I've got things to be doing. I haven't done that.
That's a whole Friday evening for me. You need to be able to unpick what is thought and what is hearing. And so the way this team did this, a guy called Brian Paisley, and he took a person who was a really accomplished pianist, and they gave this gifted pianist the task of playing two classical pieces of music at a very high standard with the sound on this electric keyboard, and they scanned his brain. And then they made him play them again, but this time they turned the sound off, but made him sort of imagine, like visualise or audialise, if that is a thing, hearing these sounds to see how the brain lit up that was different. And what they're able to find is that the two different regions of the brain, whilst they do overlap, there are subtle differences. So now you can start to separate the two different parts of the brain. And computer algorithms are watching this and learning and are now able to, they've already managed to increase their accuracy at predicting what tune this a person's thinking about by 50% following this one experiment. And that will hopefully translate into being able to one day have someone sitting there, just a locked in person thinking their thoughts, and it starts to speak for them, which should be...
I think you really missold that. It's not mind reading, is it?
What would you call it if it's not reading their mind to hear their
What you sold that, I think, what I understood about that, was there was going to be, you know, one person looking at another and being like, she's thinking about her dinner.
For a science podcast, you thought I would be having some medium.
Look,
okay?
I don't know. I don't know what the vibe of this place is. It could have been anything.
Fair.
I mean, science is a really broad church, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. It tends to take in things like Reiki and all sorts. Yeah.
You snob. So.
Snob. I just like evidence for stuff, all right? Well, call me old-fashioned, but I like stuff that works.
Well, that's where you're going wrong. Right, I can see. Brain science is my favourite kind of science.
Yeah.
I think it's the most interesting. I don't know why, because I don't understand it. I just like the idea of it. But I think this, you know, in terms of being, you know, fit science, is a bit like that guy who just turns to you and is really overly earnest and is like, oh, what are you thinking? That's what that feels like to me.
I mean, first of all, I cannot convey how creepy you just made me feel.
It's creepy.
Really creeped out.
That's what I wanted you to...
So this creeps you out.
Feels creepy.
The thing I wondered about is... We sub-vocalise our thoughts all the time. Like when you're having thoughts, you often have an internal monologue, don't you, that talks, and I know I certainly do.
Is this because you think you're JD from Scrubs?
I've lost my train of thought.
Find your internal monologue.
The internal monologue part, like, some of the things that I think in my head, I wouldn't really want a machine just speaking out loud, like, in a meeting when...
None of what I think I want being spoken out loud.
Oh, God, in your case, you'd be in trouble.
I'd be arrested.
Yeah. But like,
I'm really nice.
If you're sitting there in a meeting with your little thought box on your shoulder, somebody goes, get to the point, you knob.
Exactly. How, like, awful is that?
Yeah. So that'd be tricky. You'll have to just be a pure thought. Only the pure thought. It's then suddenly getting a bit Knights of the Round Table.
Well, this is just for nuns then, isn't it?
Yeah. Do nuns have pure thoughts? Like,
I mean, strictly speaking, I think they're only supposed to. But
what was St. Frigus or something? Was she the one who had the...
I don't know, but it sounds like you made her up.
It was some... She said she had passions with an angel or something.
Oh,
and
okay.
There's a bit of art in... I mean, I learnt about it from Angels and Demons, so...
Right, it probably didn't happen then. That's not a theological...
Largely word. Based on it's statues.
It's literal nonsense, and any theologian will tell you that.
It's not the theology, it's the statue I know about.
I refuse to read it.
Wow.
See? Yeah, I took a really hard line stance on Dan Brown.
I believe,
I just want that to be known.
I believe that's called echo chamber. There, Daisy. Got to expand your mind.
Sam's meaty story.
Next item, the meaty story, as always.
Oh, goodness me.
So,
am I ready?
This is good news, I think. So,
Right, Sam, we talked about this. Stop leading me down the garden path with these. Right. Let me make up my own mind. Right. I'm my own woman.
Okay, I'll do this very...
Could you just do it in your cartoon nerd voice?
I've been method acting a cartoon nerd character for years now. My actual voice sounds...
an awful lot like this. It's very, very sexy.
I mean, that's literally the same voice, isn't it?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to put the deep voice effect on there.
Right, okay.
And then ovaries will be a quivering across the nation.
No. So, hi to Fran, by the way, who pointed out that Sam does sound like a cartoon nerd.
Yeah, thanks, Fran.
Thanks, Fran.
I would be more indignant if not so many people laughed as soon as they heard that observation. So I have come to accept that perhaps there's a modicum of truth there. But that's all right. Two of my favourite people, Richard Iardi and David Mitchell, they're a bit nerdy sounding and they're brilliant. So I'm going to compare myself to them and
like
then
them
move on.
In so
just
many
brush
ways.
Past
so
that.
Many ways.
Exactly the same as Richard Iardi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Professor McGeehan is a researcher at the University of Portsmouth, and him and his team have had what could be a very important discovery. And this concerns plastics, because every year we produce so much plastics. If you watch shows like Blue Planet, there's just vast swathes of plastic in the ocean, baby whales dying from it. I think they say like every fish now has plastic in its stomach when they look.
It's not right, is it?
It's really not good. It's a horrendous problem. And for example, in the UK, there's 13 billion bottles, plastic bottles, used a year in the UK. 3 billion of those are unrecycled. 3 billion, that's 3,000 yes. million. That's insane.
It's more than even you think.
Yeah, it's huge numbers.
Yeah, too many.
And current recycling practices aren't fantastic. So, like, plastic bottles, when they recycle it, it degrades the quality. So the plastic then gets turned into fleeces, and then fleeces get recycled and turned into
fleeces
carpet.
Fleeces are disgusting.
It's a weird version.
I hate fleeces.
Wow.
I just don't think they're nice. I don't think they're stylish. I don't think, as a nation, we should, you know, be embracing fleeces.
It's not just a nation, by the way. We have international listeners. So
internationally, we should not be embracing fleeces.
There you go. Sound advice from Daisy.
And boycotting fleeces.
So we've now turned into a strong sartorial element to this podcast.
Well, I'm very stylish. So
yeah,
gonna
yeah,
be
you are. Yeah. You're currently wearing a fedora. It's very nice.
It's actually a trilby.
How is it? I don't know my hats. So I'm not a fashionista like you. And then yeah, so fleeces then get turned into carpet, and then after that it goes into landfill. So like, it's not like recycling doesn't really fix the problem. And so this team discovered, in Japan, in a bottle recycling plant, they discovered a bacteria called Idionella sakaiensis. And what this bacteria does is it produces an enzyme which breaks down the most common plastic that's used in bottles, yeah. called PET. This enzyme's called PETAs. And what it does is basically it breaks down the plastic and turns it into a food source for these bacteria.
It
must have evolved within the last 50 years, because we haven't had plastic since then, but some of the molecules are similar to molecules found in plant leaves, so it obviously it's got its roots from that. What it then does is the waste products are the individual constituent parts that can be reused for plastic, so
that's
it
mad.
Potentially could be make recycling far more effective. Now, what they then did, this team, is they took the enzyme that's produced to my favouritely named research facility, which is the Diamond Light Source in
yes.
Oxford. Sounds
yes,
amazing.
Diamond Light Source.
I think it's one of, if not the brightest light in the universe or something that we know of.
How do they even know?
Well, it's lighter than anything.
Why do scientists always do this? They make these wild claims, and you're like, how can that possibly be true? How can you even know that?
Well, it's brighter than any star, I believe.
Even Beyonce?
She doesn't shine that much. If you locked her in a dark room, I mean, if you locked you and her in a dark room and tied a load of bells on ropes, right? Yeah. Loads of bells on ropes, and you had to navigate the room without hitting the bells, it'd be ringing all over the place.
No, she is luminous.
Is she?
Mm. Right. She is the brightest star in the galaxy.
Well, okay. So the Diamond Light Source is second only to Beyonce in the amount of light output it can generate. And what they did is they used this to generate very strong X-ray beams, and you can use X-rays to discover the shape of molecules. And by studying it, they noticed that if they could ever so slightly adjust the shape of this PETAs, they could make it more efficient. It's also able to break down another type of plastic called PEF. They need to overcome problems. They need to work out how to produce the enzyme cheaply, how to use it on an industrial level scale, how to make it fast, and then how you can then use those constituent blocks. But this might be some way of dealing with the vast amount of plastic detritus and crap that we've littered our planet with.
It's good news for the fish.
It's great
and their
news
baby
for
whales.
The fish and their baby whales.
And the baby
whales. And the...
I don't think fish give birth to baby whales.
Do you not?
I have a rudimentary understanding of the sea.
That should be, if anything else, your LinkedIn profile.
Daisy,
yeah, rudimentary understanding
that
of the sea.
That is.
It's good, it's a
profile,
strong quality.
Yeah.
I mean, they do say that we know more about the moon than we know about the sea. So
not me. I've got a rudimentary understanding.
And know nothing about the moon.
Literally.
Yeah, because it's too alien for you.
You know that I don't like to think about space. I've talked about this before, and I don't deviate from that.
You don't like space. You don't like fleeces. You
don't
list
like Dan Brown.
Yeah, you don't like Dan Brown. You insist on being called Daisy Air.
I'm really a lot
diva,
to deal with. Yeah.
Aren't you? Yeah, so what do you think of that?
I mean, I've got a lot of questions, which I doubt you'll be able to answer, frankly.
You can try.
How did they find it?
So, it was discovered in a bottle.
Yeah, but, like, how did they know to look in the bottle? What was that? Was the bottle like degrading? And they were like, "What the hell's happening there?" And then they picked it up and were like, "Oh my god, some enzymes."
All I remember seeing when I was doing my searching, there's one article I didn't click on, which said serendipitous discovery. So perhaps it was
they're
an accidental
looking for something
thing.
Else.
Maybe they just like bottles. I don't know.
I mean,
let us know on Twitter.
Plant, so.
If you're out there, Professor, where's his name? Professor McGeehan. Let us know what made you look in the bottles. I'd love to know. That's at Daisy Grace 88. No,
yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
I'm really. Why were you just ferreting around in bottles?
Yeah.
How did you find it? What was happening there? And then once you'd found it, what were you like? How did that feel? What did you think you would do with it next?
Gosh.
I just. Where do you think it evolved from? Like I just need to know so many things. How are you going to ship it around the world so we can eat all the plastic?
Wow.
How are you going to export this? What's your business plan?
Yeah, I think you've broken Daisy. She's got stuck.
I just need to know, is there a marketing plan in place for this?
Are you planning to invest? Is this what it is?
Yeah, gonna trade in all my Bitcoin.
You're the first cryptocurrency venture capitalist out there looking for...
If I knew what Bitcoin was, I would be anyway.
If you had to give that a rating, that little bit of science, out of whatever.
Well, let me first think of a unit of measurement.
You must be running out.
Have we used Hertz yet?
No, I don't think we have, no. Right. The car rental company.
Yes.
Okay. How many car rentals would you give this?
Do I mean that? What do
it's
I mean?
It's a unit of frequency. It hurts. You do mean Hertz, yeah. It's a unit of frequency.
I knew I meant Hertz. Why do you do this to me? Maybe gaslighting me on this. Hertz. Well, as we all know, there's 500 hertz.
Right.
No more, no less.
So anyone that, like, I don't know, sound engineers or anything, it might think otherwise.
No, it's 500.
Daisy's telling you, you are wrong.
Your upper limit is 500 hertz.
Make do with it.
I think, actually, this is very exciting. I don't understand how they found it. I want to know what they were doing with that bottle. I want to know what they were looking for.
Right.
What were they actually trying to find?
Yeah,
I think is maybe the bigger question.
Right.
But having said that, now that they have found it, I am delighted because I love the fish and also the baby whales. And I'm going to give that out of 500 hertz, 475.
That's high.
Yeah, I'm really into this.
Wow, there we go. So 475 out of 500. Well done, Professor McGeehan.
Thanks, Professor McGeehan.
Brilliant.
But also do let me know what you were trying to
brilliant
find.
Brilliant man or woman. I don't actually know which gender
I don't either.
He or she is.
Either.
Could it?
Yeah.
It's very astute of you.
Well, it doesn't have to be. They could be gender fluid.
Could be gender fluid. Yeah.
Professor McGeehan, let us know. We've got a lot of questions for you.
Now, I want to talk to you now, finally, about elephant news.
Yes!
So...
Best!
Elephants... For those new to the show, are
which is all of you.
All of you. We lose a lot of listeners each week. But luckily, so far, enough naive people recheck in. Basically, our favourite animal, the podcast's official animal, yeah, in fact, is the elephant. And
you might have thought, going by today, it was the baby whale. But it's
oh, no, we love baby whales.
It's the elephant.
We also like cows. Oh, cow news.
Well, hang on. Wait. What do you want to do first, cow news or elephant news?
Cow news first,
because okay,
I want to sort of finish on elephant news.
Okay.
Cow news, by the way, engage hashtag SWKJ. Just drop that in again.
Great.
Did you see a little video of a farmer letting his cows out to pasture for the first time since they've been in... It's been in the UK, it started raining in about 1340, and it's rained...
And it continues.
It's rained for the next, like, nearly 1,000 years. But we've had a very long 8 months of almost constant rain. It's joy to be alive.
It's now got sunny.
We've had summer. We've had 3 or 4 days. It's been nice.
And we're happy with that.
This farmer let the cows out for the first time in 8 months. And they were so happy. They were skipping around and bouncing.
Oh, my heart.
The video, literally, I was watching it on the train and I had the biggest grin you can possibly imagine.
I love it.
It's great. So I will put that on the Twitter as well so people can see the cows. So back to elephant news.
Yes, please.
Now... I got very excited by a piece of elephant news, and but I'm going to have to say straight away, it might be fake news.
Oh, God,
so
how will we know?
Piece of news I heard was that elephants think of humans the same way that humans think of puppies. The same bits of the brain supposedly light up and they just think we're cute, which explains why elephants have such a natural, affable relationship with humans.
Because we're just adorable.
My heart was singing when I read this. I was like, this is the elephant news I've been waiting for. But then I thought, well, and I think this is good advice for everyone, always just check your sources. So I decided to try and find the original paper that said this. Could not find it anywhere. Second of all, I found a couple of other people also questioning this. They were saying that functional MRI scanners, which would be looking at brain activity, certainly don't go up to several tons. Then I managed to find the person that originally posted that thing, and it looks like her conversation may have come out of conversation with some people that have been studying elephants, but studying them just in the wild and observing them, and that's not the same as actually being able to say that they think we're cute like puppies.
I mean, I think it's massive conjecture to be like, oh, they think we're cute like puppies.
Yeah, it's a bit of a leap, isn't it?
I mean, you can certainly say, I think, you know, they don't hate us.
Yeah, it's not as good though, is it?
No, and I think if you want anything bad enough, you just have to believe, you know, if Disney taught us nothing. I'm willing to believe this very hard.
Yeah, I would like to urge the makers of MRI scanners, though, to pull your finger out, build one big enough for an elephant. That's...
Yeah, I mean,
however much it costs.
How big does the magnet have to be?
Think of your PR. This is a PR exercise. I mean, let Philips make MRI scanners, I think. Make a huge one. Do a really cute study with an elephant in it. Put out the evidence. Everyone buys a Philips MRI scanner for their home.
That's what I want. I've got a space just waiting for one. Yeah. But yeah. I'm waiting to be convinced.
So.
That was good elephant news, but there. I mean... Maybe it wasn't. I don't know how to feel.
No, I don't know either.
Like I say, I'm willing to believe the elephants love us.
Yes, I really hope so. Okay, well, that ends our podcast pretty much, apart from, of course...
Oh, no.
Of course, the knob joke.
Oh, God.
This is actually about my penis.
I'm not listening.
It was actually in the Guinness Book of World Records. Of course, not allowed back in that library again.
Oh, God, what?
Eh?
Oh, help me.
I love that one.
No, I hate this podcast.
Well, that was our podcast today. Thank you all for listening. If you do want to get involved, please reach out to us. Please. the hashtag is SWKJ, because knob is spelt with a K, not just an N. And
use both letters.
Yeah, and also you can reach out to us individually. I'm at ScienceManSam,
and I'm at Daisy Grace 88,
and we will speak to you again. Bye.
Ta-ra.